hopefully that won't happen again.
That's fine.
See to it that it doesn't.
I'm going to turn all my other web apps off. Let me see here.
Yeah, don't disconnect.
Oh, Dave, time. You do sound tired.
I am tired today. Boy, yeah, yesterday really tuckered me out. All right, so let's get started.
Well, you know, we've done the episode where I was kind of angry and pissy. I mean, feel free for this to be your turn.
You're due.
I'm just sitting there going, meh.
The angry, pissy Dave Kellett. That is going to be something to hear. You know,
ever happen. I think it would just be a bunch of apologizing. I'm sorry, guys. I just don't feel good today.
You know what? Gosh golly, I apologize about
that. I am so sorry. Well, let's get this started. Recorded via the digital magic of the Webatron, it's Webcomics Weekly, a podcast dedicated to the craft and minutiae of creating comic strips and posting them on the web.
Wow, did you write that up? What was that?
I'm one of your hosts, Scott Kurtz. I am the creator of the popular comic strip PvP. And you can read that at pvponline.com. Say hello to my fellow co-hosts, Brad Geiger of Evil Incorporated.
Hello.
You can find Brad's work at evil-comic.com. And also with us this evening, David Kellett of Sheldon Comics.
Always a pleasure.
And you can find his work at sheldoncomics.com. So good evening, guys.
You've been taking hosting lessons in the interim, haven't you?
What's a lovely intro.
I'm glad you liked it.
That was really good.
Yeah?
Can we just end now? Because I don't think we're going to do better than that.
So, maybe I'm just riding high on my recent trip. But,
to SCAD?
Yes.
Now, you and Dave went to SCAD. It was last week. It was October 15th. And you guys did a talk down there at the Savannah College of Art and Design. And following your emails and your Twitter posts and your websites, it sounds as if it went absolutely tremendous.
It was the highlight of my year. Wouldn't you say, David? Uh-oh. Wow.
Oh, Dave is having a horrible night tonight.
Oh, man.
After that wonderful setup, Dave.
Come on, Internet. Come on.
I threw it to you and you were gone.
I literally watched Skype go down on me. I was not touching anything. I was not looking at anything. Skype just went boom. This is what you get when you have Swedish programming or whatever Skype is from.
Yeah, no kidding. But anyway, to recap, I said I was riding high from my recent trip, and then Brad segued beautifully into discussing SCAD, and he left off with, from our Twitter posts and our pictures, it seems like everything went well.
It could not have gone better, Brad. Honestly, God, Scott and I were joking that any future university talk that we get invited to will never match this one.
Yeah, they didn't start us off slow. We went straight to the top. Like, we got, you know,
they
the
put
gig.
You
know,
three nights Motel 6, is that?
Yeah, you know, the gig you get after you've been doing it for 30 years, that's what we got first.
Right.
It's all going to be downhill from here.
Brad, my running joke the first night as Scott and I were walking around this mansion, and we were literally the only ones in there, I kept going around, walking around going, this will not stand. This is unacceptable. This is not the way to treat a human being.
We were considering sending an email to Emily and saying, you know, this is outrageous.
I wouldn't put a dog up in a place.
I mean, you know, I don't know who you think we are, but this will not stand.
And meanwhile, we're cracking open the complimentary frappuccinos and having a slice of the complimentary cake. Going, this will not stand.
This, I swear.
You guys had a well-stocked kitchen too. I forgot to ask you, what make for breakfast in that well-stocked kitchen?
Oh, we had the whole.
Brad, listen, there were bagels. There were small miniaturized boxes of cereal.
Uh huh.
There were two kinds of milk.
Really?
There was orange juice and grapefruit juice. And that's it.
Oh,
And little yogurt cups.
Oh, there were little yogurt cups. That's right. David,
but
you're
no
right.
Eggs? No eggs? No,
no
ham?
No, it was continental.
No, it was continental.
Oh, okay.
But, Brad, we did notice that in the fridge, had we wanted to, there were all the accoutrements for making a lovely bigger breakfast. But
well, that's what I mean. That's why I caught you guys on when you webcasted the night before.
Well, it's really funny because we got really hungry and it was like, are we allowed to take food from the kitchen?
Yeah,
And there was another guy there, a gentleman there that was accrediting their historical preservation society.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yes, they told us to help ourselves, to, you know, make ourselves at home. And so at one point I was in the fridge. I mean, they had sodas in glass bottles, mind you, that you had to pff the top off. We had eaten – I had snuck a couple bagels and toasted them. And Dave's like, I'm still hungry, and goes into the kitchen and comes out with a box of pita chips, a box of Wheat Thins, and a thing of peanut butter. I'm like, where did you find that?
I was Harrison Fording it up in the kitchen, just going to town looking for stuff. But Brad, the contrast, because you know this is the official guest house for the entire Savannah College of Art and Design, and mm-hmm. So even though it was just Scott and I for most of the night, there was one other professor there, like Scott was saying, who was there from the Historical Preservation Society or whatever. And the study in contrast could not have been more clear. Like, Scott and I are padding around this mansion with just, like, you know, no shoes on. We just got socks or bare feet. And we're just kind of padding around in shorts, and we're eating the peanut butter. And then this British educated gentleman comes in. He's like, oh, hello. What are you two gentlemen here for? And we're like, no, we're here for a webcomic lecture. Oh, it's going to be pretty good. Well, all right. Oh, I say, webcomic. What is that all about? That sounds delicious. And we were telling him about it. It's just, and then though, Scott, you gotta know, he was fascinated by the end of it. He's like, really? Really? Oh.
Yeah, it was funny because then.
A bagel flying out of your mouth. Yeah, well, it takes a little while to get it up there.
Yeah, we're like, we're eating bagels. And he's like, that sounds delectable.
It certainly is tea time somewhere. What, huh, Cheerio?
But his daughter works for Turbine Entertainment, so that was the connection, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, he was like, oh, yes, my daughter works in video games, very similar to these comics that you make. But, yeah, so, I mean...
I loved it when he, at 2 in the morning, asked, so how far ahead do you gentlemen work on these things? And we're like, working on tomorrow's right now,
yep.
2 a.m.
Thinking about... yeah.
You are joyful lot.
Brad, the really funny thing is that Jeremy Mullins, the one of the sequential art professors who teaches the webcomics class, was literally begging David to call him at 2 in the morning to go up to the Norris Hall and scan stuff in, because he'd be up. He'd be up making podcasts and making comics himself, and he's a night owl, and we were seriously considering it.
Oh, to scan the strip in for the next day's update?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been funny.
You know what's awesome, Brad, is an entire building. So Norris Hall is their sequential art program building, and it's 400 students just studying comics. And the kind of amazing thing when you walk in this building is that it's 400 people all up at 2 in the morning doing comics.
That is true.
Well, don't you remember, that was college time, though. I mean, nobody went to bed before midnight in college.
No, I remember we used to go to like the...
1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning just on a normal day.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they hated us at the International House of Pancakes in Denton.
I was gonna say, in South Bend, the Denny's midnight crew hated us. They're like, God, don't you guys ever sleep?
See, I went to Alma College, and Alma was a real small town in Michigan, and we didn't have any of that. And my big deal was going to the 7-Eleven to get a chili cheese dog.
Wow,
that was it. That was a big deal, you know. And it was good.
I love the follow up comment. But I have to say, it was delicious chili cheese dog.
It was a good chili cheese dog. Really? From a 7-Eleven?
Really?
No.
Really. So the good news,
swear,
Brad,
I swear.
Is that the talk could not have gone better, though, the actual talk itself. Like, the in-class stuff was fantastic. We were doing more one-on-one and critiques and stuff like that. But the big lecture in the big hall, Scott pointed this out to me because I didn't even really notice it during the night. We were getting the laughter and then the clap for the laughter. Have you ever done, you know what I mean, in a public speech?
Oh, yeah.
Where the audience goes, ah, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. And I'm sure that if we were having an opportunity to show anyone the footage of that, I know that at one point I was like, what, really? Like,
really? For a Klingon joke, you're going to give us
for that?
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, because seriously, it was like you get the laughter at the joke, but then every once in a while, like, that was a joke worth clapping for.
like you liked it, and you're happy that everyone else liked it, and now everyone's going to clap in appreciation of one another.
Right. As though the exhalation of laughter wasn't enough, I need to show you that I liked it by clapping my hands.
Well, now Dave, I heard this from Scott on a telephone call, and you sat in on a class in which the point of the class that day was to pitch your idea for a webcomic. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
How did that go?
It was both awesome and terrifying and depressing and then awesome again. You know, it all goes student by student, and some ideas you're like, oh, that's brilliant, yes, good, run with that. And other ideas you're like, oh boy, oh, what to say in this critique? all right, I don't know that I would have Hitler in the comic.
Well,
I don't know
that
that
guy was there. That guy was there?
No, but you know what I mean. Like, the comic is just like, ooh, this concept, I don't know. Oh, boo.
And Brad, there was one girl in this class I was in, and she's like, see, they split us up between these two classes at one point, and Dave got the awesome pitch your webcomic idea class, and I got the, I think it was like digital design problem solving or something like that. And
right.
It was, and the reason why I was in that class is because the professor's a really big fan of PvP. And
do there?
I'm sorry?
There was nothing for you to actually participate in there?
Oh, no. I mean, I sat down and told him all about how I do my stuff. Dave, actually, I didn't even realize it, but had snuck in and was watching the second half of it.
Uh-huh.
But at one point, this one girl was like, yeah, I don't know how to finish out this. I don't know how to figure out this one part of my story. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, hey, I'm here. I'll help you out with it. What's your story about? She's like, well, it's about a pregnant nun that fights the forces of evil. And I'm like, oh, okay, what are you trying to figure out? And she's like, well, I'm trying to figure out how she gives birth to this thing. Like, what's the catalyst for this pregnancy? And I'm like, well, and I'm thinking, like, okay, I can understand that, like an immaculate conception. She's like, oh no, she was impregnated by technology, and when she gives birth to the baby, it's kind of like a mecha robot, and she ends up riding it like a mount. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I can't help you. Don't know. You've lost me. Had me and lost me.
Riding it like a mount? She turns into a cowboy?
I don't know, but like she rides around on it or something.
I've got this vision of her like twirling the rosary beads around her head like a lasso. What's happening? Did I just go too far? What happened here? I'm not getting clapped.
How dare you guys besmirch the genius of giving birth to a mecha robot that you then ride around? I think that's big.
I hope he's not listening to this.
Yeah, no, but Brad, I gotta tell you, one of the most amazing things that Scott and I felt like as we were walking around was we were between classes, and we just got out of giving a lecture, and we were going to go in to give another lecture to a different class. And they were describing the class, and I leaned over to Scott, and I was like, God, I wish I could take this class. This sounds fantastic.
Yeah, they have a whole class on hand lettering.
Wow.
Oh,
really?
It sounded fantastic. I mean, it's the kind of thing that, you know, you learn slowly over 10 years how to create emotion with hand lettering, but a class like that, even I would love to just sit in on that and try it out.
And then you guys went to your big talk on the 15th in the lecture hall. They had you kind of set up a little bit like that James Lipton show. You had leather chairs, a little coffee table in between you, and a big screen that you had a presentation on.
Right, and Scotty had brought his laptop, and we both had what do you call those things, Scott? They're like a PowerPoint remote control. What do you?
The Apple remote.
Oh, Apple. Yeah. Well, I had a PowerPoint remote.
Yeah, you had like a little USB PowerPoint remote. And laser pointer.
Right, that's right. It had a laser
slash pointer. Sonic screwdriver.
Exactly. So we basically both had the ability to run the slideshow, which we used every once in a while to make a joke and go back or go forward and stuff. So it came out really slick. I got to say it. I was pleasantly surprised by how good the talk went.
That's cool. Yeah, it sounds like it was a good time, and it sounds like people really got a lot out of it.
They did. Yeah, we've been getting good emails this week.
Yeah, we've been getting really great emails about it. But to wrap up, it's just this exciting. I've been super charged up about it. I feel like I've been stalking these kids too, because I got to know some of the grad students, and they all kind of participate in this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Called SQL Lab. SEQA is the code for the sequential department. And they have a podcast called SQL Lab where Jeremy Mullins and some of his students, they do like we do. They talk comics. And I've kind of gotten to know the voices on there and kind of follow their journal comics. They all do journal comics. So I feel like I'm stalking these students.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I've stopped myself from emailing Kevin Burkholder and going, "So anyway, man, like, what are you working on? What's the new thing?" You know, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. He didn't want to hear from me. But I'm
you
just
know what? I gotta say, Scott. Actually, having met him and seen the sample books that he was giving us, I really started to fall in love with Kevin's style. The guy's got a great look for the way he does his journal comic.
Yeah.
And now I got to find a link for it because people on the show are going to want to hear it. Hold on, let me find that while you guys are talking. One thing we should mention, though, because now that the talk is in as polished a state as it is, because we've given this talk before to various Comic Cons and stuff, but it's worth mentioning that if you're an art student or in an art program around the U.S. or Canada, you are totally willing and awesome to invite us out to give a talk. We would love to do it again. Yes, especially like Parsons School of Design has a sequential art program, or School of Visual Arts, or CCS in Vermont, or any of the other schools that do sequential art, but also just art in general. I mean, I think it's a worthwhile talk for artists working online. So
you don't even need to be an art school if you just want to have us out. We wouldn't say no.
That is true. That is very true. I can't find Kevin's thing now. Where is it?
You know what? I keep every time I have not bookmarked it because I don't want to feel like I'm stalking him. So I always Google Kevin Burkholder, and it is kevinsjournalcomic.com.
Ah, here we go. Kevinsjournalcomic.com. There it is. Bink.
October 12, 2008. Had an ample breakfast. Blueberry pancakes. Packed my bag. Went to the library for thesis Sunday. Thesis Sunday spotlight on Ben Franklin. Kevin says, by eating frugally, Ben Franklin had more money to spend on books.
Huh.
He just got a great line quality. It sort of sneaks up on you, too, that journal comic. So check out Kevin. The book he gave us was Kevin Days a Week, but I can't seem to find that one online, so he must not have that for sale.
I don't think he has it for sale. He printed up 400 of them. I know that he got them done through Lulu or Comic Press or something.
Right.
But it's really cool, Brad. He took this little journal comic that's this kind of square four panels, and he printed them in a 4x4 book, and he put 400 pages in there, like a little over a year.
Holy moly.
And
so the book is like a brick. It's like a little square by square brick. It's pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
So anyway, that was our SCAD trip. So thank you, Savannah College of Art and Design. You guys were awesome for having us out. That was honestly the highlight of my year so far.
That's going to be a hard mark to hit.
Yeah, I know the next school we're going to get is the Des Moines Trade School of Auto Repair and Sequential Art, and it's not going to match it at all.
Hey, these guys are in here to talk about webcomics. Can you put the transmissions down for a minute?
Hey, all right, so these guys here to talk about webcomics. Hey, Jimmy, put the wrench down. These boys are here to talk about webcomics.
Hey, I like Garfield. He's my favorite. He's not a webcomic, Jimmy. You gotta keep up with the program over here.
I tell you what, he's no Heathcliff. That Heathcliff is a lamb of God.
A lamb of God, that Heathcliff. Garfield only eats lasagna. Heathcliff takes a garbage can, finds a fishbone, makes it a meal.
Makes it a meal. I tell you what, Garfield, he'll kick John when he's down. Heathcliff, he picks his friends up. That's the kind of cat I want to know.
Garfield sees another cat. He runs for cover. Heathcliff, he steps up. Steps up the plate. He's not afraid to get in the scrap.
He's not. He ain't afraid. He's gonna do it. He's gonna do it for you. All right. Enough about Heathcliff. All right, Brad.
You know who's the bully? You know who's the bully? That dog. That big bulldog with the boulder cap.
What was the name of the dog in Heathcliff?
I don't know. Probably something really creative like Spike or Dog.
Pet or Spike, you know, with the Spike dog collar. I bet any money.
Or Muggsy or Muggsy. Dog.
Doggy, yeah. All right.
The dog.
Wikipedia. While Brad looks up a question, I'm going to Wikipedia to look that up. Hold on.
All right. We've got a question from Mike Perry, who does Stink Child Comics.
All right. Stink Child.
Stink Child Comics with an S. .com. And it says, this is something that's been something of a debate in my small circle of friends about how much copy and paste is too much. In a pinch, I've been known to copy and paste a panel several times just to get a strip done, but I know of other webcomics that are mostly copy and paste. It's just something that crossed my mind, and I thought I would seek your opinion. How much copy and paste is too much?
Well, I am going to give you quite a hot sports opinion on that, because especially in this last year, I'm trying to get as far away from copy and paste as possible. I'm very guilty of having done that in the past, and I've even done the long form of copy and paste just so I can feel better about copying and pasting. But the bottom line is, no, I'm serious, Brad. So instead of copying and pasting, instead of drawing it once and then Control C, Control V, okay, what I would do is I would trace it. Because if I'm tracing the same picture four times, I'm still drawing it. I'm not
technically copy and paste.
Yeah, but it's just copy and paste by hand.
Right, right. You're still drawing it, but it's a technicality because you're not actually trying to compose a panel that would work the best in that particular spot.
Right. So for me, copy and paste was always about saving time, and it was also kind of about being lazy. But mostly it was about being lazy, let's be honest. it does save you time. I mean, if you copy and paste art, you don't have to redraw it. It saves you time is the idea. But you know, I don't know how many of you guys have ever found yourself in a position where, you know, and it seems like these days it feels like such a uniquely American trait, but it's this habit of creating more work in order to get out of work. You know, I mean, you do so much to get out of work that you would have done less if you had just done it.
Right.
Right, right.
And when you do that copy and paste stuff, and you try to make it look like you're not copying and pasting it, I think you end up doing more work, and it takes its toll on you emotionally more than if you would just have fun drawing it and coming up with more dynamic storytelling.
Well, there's a key word for you there, too, is that you should be having fun drawing this comic, especially if you're like our letter writer or our email writer who is kind of starting phases of his comic from the sounds of it. You should be having fun, and the whole idea of trying to rush through and copy and paste, you're not doing yourself any favors, because every panel, every comic is a challenge for you to solve, and the more that you solve these challenges, the better you get at solving them in general, and the better cartoonist you become. So you're not doing yourself any favors by copy and pasting, and you're not becoming a better cartoonist. You're not becoming a better artist, and you're missing out on the opportunity to have the fun and enjoyment that brought you to this medium in the first place.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, is it almost simplifying to say that the better you become as the years go on, the more you have the right to copy and paste, in the sense that you have to earn the ability to use it sparingly. Do you know what I mean? Like if you
I think that's pretty accurate.
You know that old school saying that if you don't do your work, you're just cheating yourself, kind of thing.
Right.
I think a version of that could be applied to cartooning in the sense that if you don't learn all the little nuances that come with drawing even the same image over and over again for the kind of joke that requires a static pose for say four frames, you're not learning to control your characters and learning to control their bodies and their poses. And you're shortchanging yourself and your ability to control or cast or form your characters. But then as the years go on and you know full well, like for example, now after 10 years or whatever drawing Sheldon characters, I can draw them literally with my eyes closed. So if I need to use a light box or Photoshop or something, it's not the end of the world because I know that if I had to, I could draw the same frame, exactly the same, 9 different panels in a row, you know, for a Sunday strip or something.
Well, and in some instances, it's just inefficient to draw something fresh. For example, I've got a very detailed drawing of the outside of the Evil Inc. Tower, with a bunch of windows and masonry and gargoyles and all this kind of stuff. There's one drawing that exists of that. Now, it's a very big drawing, and I can crop it a number of different ways and angle it a number of different ways, but I've only drawn that building once because there's no need to draw it in a whole bunch of different perspectives, you know?
Right.
I will reuse that drawing in different instances because it would just be inefficient to do it otherwise. But that's a different type of copy and pasting than to take your characters on a daily basis and slap them into 4 panels and then change the words over their heads, you know?
Right. So well, I think my attitude on this is that there's going to be some cartooning or artistic purist out there that will say no copying and pasting, no tracing is ever allowed for the pure artist. My attitude is for the moments of efficiency that you can employ it, do it sparingly, but the one goal that I would put out there for people is make sure that your audience never knows it.
Mm-hmm.
If you make that your rule, then you will change up frame to frame, or you will do something with either a stroke in the way you draw it or retrace it or use it again. You know, you'll either zoom in, zoom out, do something different so that your audience never knows. Because the goal with all this is to make it visually interesting and appealing and bounce along. And if they're noticing copy and pasting, then you've lost already, you know?
Right. Well, okay, take Doonesbury. How many times has he drawn the White House? Now, you know, some of those have got to be stock images of the White House, but at the same time, you never notice the same White House twice because there's always he does quite a few different perspectives on it. He does a different angles. So you know that.
But the White House is a static concept. I mean, a character is not a static concept. A character does not always look the same from moment to moment. The White House you're almost doing yourself a service by not copy and pasting the White House because it's supposed to look the same every time you see it.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, if you want to, you know, mix it up and have 3 or 4 different stock things so that sometimes you show it's a shot from the garden and sometimes you show it's a shot from the front, but it's not supposed to change. You know, the outside of Evil Inc. is not supposed to change. It's a static thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about this before in the book, but the visual vocabulary that you use is a language. It's a form of a language. And so in the same way that if you were writing a sentence or a series of sentences, you wouldn't use the word, you wouldn't start every sentence with the word because, you know, 4 sentences in a row, because it inherently calls attention to itself and it inherently sounds stupid. The same thing is true with a visual language. You don't want to have some clearly traced character that still has his hand at a right angle, you know, in frames 1, 2, and 3. Because in your visual language, it makes you look like an idiot. It looks dumb. It looks like you're a fourth grader writing the same thing about, and then I went to the store, and then I bought some bread, and then I went to and got, you know, and then I took the bread home. You know, that kind of sentence structure. And when you're doing it with art, if it's visible, I think that's when it, or noticeable, I should say, that's when you lose them, because it's the same kind of thing as starting a sentence with the same word or starting a, you know, same meter, same prose kind of thing.
So, and here's another reason why you don't want to do it, and this is what ultimately led me to stop, is that even if you become very comfortable with the way that your artwork looks in your mostly copy and pasted comic, if you really love the consistency and the on-modelness it gives you, what you're robbing yourself of is what I call happy accidents.
Oh, pardon me.
Bling-a-ding.
That's me turning my iPhone off.
Um,
awkward.
You know, Dave was talking about having drawn the Sheldon characters for 10 years, that he's very comfortable doing it, and he can do it in his with his eyes closed, literally. But what's going to happen is that, just being a human being, that every once in a while you're going to go to draw something and you're going to get it wrong. And sometimes it's looks wrong and you have to fix it. And sometimes you go, oh, you know what? I like that. Maybe I'll.
Right. Yep.
That happens.
Yep. That's very true, Scott.
You know, like you take a look and you go, oh God, I was kind of not paying attention to my posture, and I was drawing this kind of with my head to the side. Now that I sit up and look at it straight on, my you know, my perspective's off. But seeing his mouth over to the side like that, I kind of like that. Maybe I could play with that. And by copying, pasting, you're robbing yourself of those moments.
Right.
So you really, yes, you can maintain an incredible consistency in your work, but you're also locking yourself into whatever your consistency quality is at that moment. You know?
Yep. And you're absolutely right. And it also branches off into a side question. You see this every now and again, of people pasting photographs into the backgrounds of their comics so that they don't have to draw the background because they don't think they can master perspective. And they talk themselves into believing that this is a great image because look how realistic that background is. After all, it's a photo. But then in the foreground, you've got these... you've got these cartoon drawing characters.
Yeah, that needs to end. That needs to end.
Now, what happens is that by that photo realistic background, your cartoonish drawings look downright crude. They don't fit the universe that they're in, and you go like Scott said, or I think Dave or Scott, one of you guys said it a couple minutes ago. You go through way more work than it would be to just draw a simple background in the background. They're on the web trying to find photos at a certain angle, and they can't find that angle, so now their whole scene has to change.
Yeah, I think we should start a new feature of our podcast and call it the Webcomics Weekly Smackdown, or the Webcomic Weekly the Webcomics Weekly Edict. I like that. I think it's time for a new Webcomics Weekly Edict, and we state that it's time for webcomic artists to give up the habit, the practice of going to Google Image Search and taking, like if you need a hospital, you go to Google Image Search and you go hospital, and you take that photo and you put it behind your characters and you blur it.
Right?
That is
right.
Done. We would like to officially stick a stake in the heart of that vampire. It is done.
Now, to go into Google Image Search, printing out that image and using it for reference for your own illustration is perfectly great.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if you can't figure out the perspective of drawing a hospital, go to the Google image search and find the inside of a hospital and then draw that. The perspective is worked out for you in the photograph.
But think of it this way. There's some of the photos that you find on Google Image Search, let's face it, nobody cares what happens to, including the person that originally exposed the film or the digital camera. But there's a copyright issue there.
Yeah, I see. I know. Yeah.
Illustration and put it in the back of their work and blurt it out. You're taking some photographer's work, putting it in, and using it to complete your work. They're doing part of the work of doing your comic and getting no compensation. And you're guilty of copyright theft.
And here's another copy-paste thing that I think we need to let go of. Don't draw by hand, in perspective, a sign, and then take a font and try to force the font perspective to match the sign that you just drew. Just draw the letters on it. Just draw the words.
I'm guilty of that one.
I was going to say, easy. I know somebody in this podcast that does that occasionally.
Is that you, Brad?
I do that from time to time, yeah.
Brad Geiger.
Sorry.
Looks right, sir.
I like the idea that these webcomic edicts would eventually lead to each one of us hating each other. We'd be like, hey, don't do a week on fart jokes. Don't do it. Don't do it.
The idea of a talking duck, I mean, really?
Exactly.
We're just taking overt shots at each other. And by the way, if your last name is Kellett, you shouldn't be in comics.
And if you're wearing a blue shirt and your name is Brad, and you clearly have body odor issues.
You know what else? Puns are over. Puns.
Oh! And no more pornography, please.
Yeah. What?
Did I tell you guys I was a pornographer?
Yes, you did. But tell the audience about this, Brad. This is good.
If only it were true.
I know. I will. Yeah, I'd be making a lot more money. I can tell this because it has a happy ending. I always check at least once a day my AdStack stats and my Tribal Fusion stats just to see, you know, where I am. Check in on it. And I think, what is today, Saturday, I think on Tuesday, I look in and it's a goose egg. Nothing. I'm like, that's kind of odd. But, yeah, maybe there's a server hiccup. So I decide not to panic. I check Wednesday, goose egg again. So I figure, okay, I better get on top of this because AdStack was right in the middle of a nice little uptick this past week, too. And so I write them an email, and I place a phone call that goes right to voicemail asking what the deal is, and that wasn't returned. In the meantime, I look on my site, on my AdStack interface, and it says, site disqualified, : adult content.
Nice.
Now, for the last week and a half, I've introduced a character named Phenomenal Lass, and she has been just straight cheesecake character. I mean, that was the whole I had kind of some gags I wanted to work out with her, but really the whole idea was just to bring in a cheesecake character because she was extremely fun to draw, and I had a lot of fun with it. I had a lot of good response from my readers from it, but here I'm seeing adult content. So the next day, I still hadn't heard back. The next day, I put in another email and a phone call, and I said, listen, you know, I've given you guys 24 hours to respond. Nothing's happened. I'll give you another 24 hours, and then I've got to take my solid 18 to 24 male demographic someplace else because there's no adult content on my site, and, you know, I can't just stand by and watch no ads get served. I'm signing up with two other sites this afternoon. And within, I'd say, about an hour and a half, I got a phone call. They had been doing a audit of sites the week before, and there was another site that actually did have adult content in it that had evil for its first part of its URL. And instead of clicking on that one, the technician clicked on mine and shut it down for adult content.
Oh, no.
So said, we've gone back, we fixed it, and you'll be serving ads within the next 2 hours.
Wow, so what was the other site? Was it like evilporn.com or something?
They didn't tell me exactly what it was, but it was something that had a similar URL.
Oh, my God, so there's some website out there with adult content with evil in the title.
Ugh. Oh, of course.
Oh, man.
That's frightening.
That is frightening. I don't even wonder what that is.
But I'm sorry, I completely sent this down a rat hole. But that was
that's worth sharing because you know, we've always talked about this. But the situation with advertising online changes literally every month. I find, you know, like people are like, "Oh, AdStack's up this month. Whoa, it's Tribal Fusion this month. AdStack's tanking. Oh, I will try AdStack's back up. Project Wonderful stinks. Oh, yeah. Project Wonderful's paying."
It's such a ridiculous cycle. It's like there's got to be someone out there that can. Just sell ads for us without us having to rotate these ridiculous turnkey systems back and forth over and over.
Yeah, it's almost like the Wild West of advertising in the sense of like, hold on, Sheriff, I've got the key to the city. You know, no, I've got the key to the city, Sheriff.
No, you know what? I'll tell you what it's really like. It's almost like the stock market. You know, it's like, what's the hot stock? All right, now what's the hot stock? It's not like you really love that other stock and you believe in the company. It's just that's what was hot, and now you're dumping it to move to the next one. It's like, all right, what ad system is hot right now? AdStack, that's paying really good. Well, I love AdStack. What's hot now? Tribal Fusion. Boink, I'm off to that. And it's just, you know, buy, sell, sell, buy. You know,
do you remember the opening scene in Office Space when he's trying to commute to work and he changes lanes and then the lane next to him speeds up and he changes into that lane and the lane that he was just in speeds back up again?
Yeah,
I always feel, because I'm not, and I said this before, I kind of half pay attention to my advertising. I always feel like I'm a day behind in switching from AdsDeck or Tribal Fusion or Burst or you know, whatever it's going to be, whatever the ad site flavor du jour is. And I'm always like $100 shy of, you know, of the big payday or whatever it was.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, too.
And in the meantime, there's somebody, you know, walking along with the old man with a walker along the sidewalk, just passing me by, and I'm in my commuter lane.
Anyway, so that's so don't copy and paste, kids.
Stop it. Okay, what do you say, guys? Looking at the clock, we got time for one more?
Uno mas.
One more. Let's
uno mas. Okay, let me take one that I know that I'll save the other one, because that one... We have one that I think we can get into a little bit deeper, so I'll go to this one. Because this,
Brad,
I think, is a... Go
can
ahead.
Can I make a request on this, Brad? I want to hear you do this question in a voice. What voice can you do?
Yeah.
I don't do voices like you guys.
I want to hear you read this one in a French accent. Can you do that, Brad?
Okay, hold on.
He's going to do it. Awesome.
Jeez.
Voulez-vous, I've seen some of Scott's videos on this subject, and I'm still not sure about if there are any advantages, disadvantages to this program. So, my question is, Photoshop, Illustrator, or Flash? How like life?
What?
How like life?
What?
I don't even know what my question was.
You guys couldn't see, but I was holding my cigarette backwards.
I see. I gotcha.
Yeah, he's asking. He was asking. I can't do the voices. Like, I can just do the hack accents, like Dracula and Rodney Dangerfield. That's my extent.
You know what's funny is that your French was kind of a hybrid of Rodney Dangerfield and Dracula. That was nice.
I know.
Hey, I don't even know I'm sucking your blood here. Whoa. Blah blah. I'm totally sucking your blood here. I ain't got no respect.
Well, this guy wants to know, when he's doing his comic, what's the best software? Photoshop, Illustrator, or Flash?
Oh, well.
Wow. That entirely depends on what you're comfortable using and what the end result of what you want to do with it is, I would think.
Exactly.
And also, it also has to do with, I mean, it's real easy. If you're drawing your stuff by hand, and you're just using a program to then scan that art in and add maybe word balloons and stuff like that, you might even use a combination of all three. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you'd use all three, but...
No, I've had projects where I was doing something, and I didn't use Flash, but I've used Photoshop, Illustrator, and something else.
Well, yeah, I mean, take Southworth. I think Paul Southworth draws he used to draw his comics by hand, scan them into Photoshop, and then he would bring that image into Illustrator and do his lettering in Adobe Illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really a lot like art supplies. I think it really has to do with what you're most comfortable with. And the only real difference is, of course, that with programs like Illustrator and Flash, you're working in vector art. And vector art is infinitely scalable because it's all ones and zeros that the computer then remembers, straight lines and curves. What is that word? Bezier curves?
Bezier curves.
Bezier? That's not...
No, Scott, I would trust our resident Frenchman on that.
Yeah, Bezier.
Fred's over there going, blah, blah, Bezier curves. My French accent.
I cannot believe you just said that, Brad. Did you really say that and mean it?
I really did. That's how I always thought it was pronounced, though.
It's Bezier. Bezier curves.
You can take the boy out of Michigan.
No kidding.
Hey, if you ever
need to unshark your Bezier curves. vector art is the computer keeping track of ones and zeros that it then recreates your art at any size. So you can scale it down and scale it up infinitely and never worry about image quality loss. But you know, Photoshop is a pixel tool, and you know, you're kind of locked into the dots per inch that you scan the art in or draw the art in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but scalability in Photoshop is a definite problem if you're going up.
You know how Illustrator is a vector program? What's Photoshop considered? What's the opposite of vector?
I always call it pixel-based.
I think it's raster, right? Is it raster and vector?
Yeah. Raster makes sense.
Actually, it's rastier, right, Brad?
That's good butter.
That's good butter.
But you know what? I remember when I was having a conversation with Greg Dean at one point, and he was trying to convince me to try out vector. And he's like, "Yeah, but you don't understand. If somebody ever buys your script to use as a billboard, it's good to go." And I was thinking to myself, "When am I ever going to need to blow up a script to be, you know, 48,000 DPI equivalent, 40 by 40 feet?"
This I have done, and I have pretty good luck with it too. If you got a situation like that, you can take a really high-res scan of your line art, bring it into Illustrator, do an auto trace. Now you've got vectors, and you're off to the races. Do a little cleanup on your vectors, and you're set.
You know, that is not something that's been around for a long time, but that tracing feature where it takes your raster art and converts it into vector art has gotten so sophisticated lately.
Yeah.
Well, originally it was
a software package in and of itself that Adobe offered.
Yeah, Streamline.
Yeah, they just
folded it right into Illustrator, and it's just a tool now in Illustrator. And
it's called Live Trace.
Yeah.
Have you fussed with that at all, Dave?
Yeah, and I want to ask you guys, because this would be a great learning lesson for me as well, is that I have tried every conceivable permutation of settings on Live Trace, and maybe it's just because I'm too type A. I never get it the way I like it in terms of the detail of my art, you know? Because I actually, I know I keep talking about it, but there's a sci-fi strip that I want to do, and I want to do it as vector art, but I want to draw it I want to draw it as raster or bitmap images first. Mm-hmm. And then change it over using Live Trace, and I've futzed with it 9,000 different ways, and I've never.
In what way are you dissatisfied?
Sexually? No, I'm just kidding. I just find that I don't. This is all the nuances that only the artist would spot in their own work. You know what I mean?
Too choppy, too smooth.
Yeah, one corner will be just right, but then another corner, the line will thicken in a way that I did not intend. And I would love to see a good how-to on somewhere online. So if anybody knows of one, because it might be the difference.
That's out there, Dave. That's out there.
It's got to be, but Lord knows.
The thing I need to learn is I've futzed with it to get it where I like it. Like, the art is good enough. Like, I know that I can see where it's a little bit off, but no one will notice it. My problem is then I don't know how to color it. Because it's not... All the shapes are very complex. And so if I want to then go in to this vector art and color it in the vector art, you can't just fill in a shape. Because what looks like a line is really... it's a thick black blob covered by a million little white blobs that give the impression of line art now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the only way I found to really to color effectively in vector art is to essentially do a form of layers copy and paste things underneath onto a different layer. But anyway, yeah, I would love to find a good Live Trace tutorial online. So if anybody knows of one and wants to mention it on the Half Pixel forum, I would be appreciative of that. That would be something that I would be appreciative of.
So let me ask you a question. I want to ask you guys a question before we wrap it up here. I have a concept for a new feature on this show. And I want to run it past you live. This actually right here, me running this past you, is a new feature called On the Spot with Webcomics Weekly. It's where I put the other co-hosts on the spot. And they have to answer a question that I will more than likely have to edit out later. Okay, what if every week we had a pick of the week?
A pick of the week?
In terms of a comic that we want to promote?
Maybe it's a comic book you picked up at the store. Maybe it's a new feature in the newspaper that you really like. Sorry, I didn't mean to make a joke there. I should keep this serious. Maybe it's a webcomic, new webcomic you've discovered. Or a website that you found helpful in working your daily job of being a cartoonist, just a pick of the week.
You know maybe. What? I love that idea, and I will start because I got this from the library yesterday, and I think I was talking to you about this, Scott. I found it to be surprisingly helpful, the DC Comics Guide to Inking.
Really?
I had checked out the DC Comics Guide to Penciling and Writing and didn't really like them, kind of found them sort of, you know, high school level, college, you know, younger kid level. But for whatever reason, I really glommed on to the DC Guide to Inking, and I enjoyed it. I would love to find another resource, and this may or may not make sense, but I would love to find another resource online towards just textures that you can create with a pen or brush. You know, and I think, Scott, you and I were talking about this in Savannah. I want some sort of reference page for all the different ways that you can apply stone or fabric or... You know what I mean? In terms of, to make it as literal as possible, mark making. You know, I want to see what's possible with hash marks or with...
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like you...
Go ahead. What?
Well, so you're looking for someone that's maybe found a good way to represent, like, cloth with hatching.
Yeah, fabric or, you know, sewn fabric versus loomed fabric versus... And there's all sorts of, you know, you see all the different styles if you open up any Marvel or DC book, all the ways to imply shadow... Well, that's great, but I also want to... The DC Comics Guide to Lettering was good in that it started to imply different ways to do texture, and because I still hand-draw, I'd love to find more resources like that. So that's my tip of the week, and if anybody's got another good resource for texture, I would love to see it. Brad, you go ahead, Brad, because I like this idea on Scott's part.
Let's see. My pick of the week is a book that I just recently bought, and I think I called this guy out in either Emerald City or what's the last one we all did together? Baltimore. It's a Wonderella. It's a Wonderella book collection, and I've kind of already mentioned that this guy I think does a tremendous webcomic, and his writing is sublime. It's not so much that he's funny, it's that he writes funny. You know, so much of his humor comes from his tone and how he puts words together. And even though I've read most or all of the Wonderella strips, reading them in book form has been fantastic. So I that's my pick of the week. I think the title of the book is Everything Ever Forever.
Wow.
I like that.
And it's quirky as can be. It's a great read.
Well, I made this suggestion. I don't have a pick of the week. So I'm going to... I'm just going to make Kevin Burkhalter's journal comic my pick of the week.
Nice.
That's a good one.
So if you want to go to kevinsjournalcomic.com. Kevin Kevin is a grad student at the... He's a grad student, right?
Yeah, so he's a grad student and a TA at Savannah College of Art and Design.
Yeah, the Savannah College of Art and Design. And it's good stuff. It's fun stuff.
Well, that's good, and I'm all for continuing this every week because I think between the four of us, we will have good picks every week.
Awesome.
All right, sending out all our love and kisses and puppy dog hugs.
I didn't write an outro, so I'll just do the intro again. You've been listening to Webcomics Weekly, which has been recorded live via the digital magic of the Webatron. A podcast dedicated to the craft and minutia of creating comic strips and then posting them on the web. I've been one of your hosts, Scott Kurtz. I create PvP. You can find me at pvponline.com. Say hello to my fellow co-hosts that have been with you this last hour. Brad Geiger of Evil Incorporated.
Thank you.
And say goodbye to David Kellett of Sheldon Comics.
Always a pleasure.
This has been a Desilu production. Dun, 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 dun. Bring.
Meow. Oh, wait, that was Mary Tyler.
Wow, probably. That was MTM.
That was MTM, darn it. Wait, what was that, Tron?
That was Taxi.
Tron?
No.
I thought you were doing...
That's so funny because someone told me. I remember I had a friend in college who was just obsessed with Tron. I mean, he actually had the discs of Tron game at his house in his dad's garage. And he came up to me one day and he's like, "Oh, Scott, I'm so excited! They're releasing an extended soundtrack to Tron." And I'm like, "An extended soundtrack? What is it? 10 extra minutes of do 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 It's extended about it.
You know what the extended track is? Is the little guy going, no, 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 yes,
yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes,
yes, no, 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 no.
Scott, no, but this one has an extra track that goes, do, 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 do.
And on those notes.
Well,
I love how we never actually finish a show.
No, we just kind of
listen to webcomics. Oh, by the way, hey guys, about my plumbing situation. Turns out the plumber says it was an old pre-cast iron pipe. So
it's really funny as I just look down now. We're broadcasting from my house. We're broadcasting out of my dining room, to be honest. I have my computer and stuff set up in the dining room. And I looked down and I saw one baby shoe on the floor, and I don't have a baby.
That's disturbing.
I know what it's from, too. It's because when my nephew visited, that shoe got broken, and we decided to throw it out, and it must not have made it to the trash. One baby shoe on the floor. That's what I'm going to name this episode, One Baby Shoe.
I was going to say, there's a title in there somewhere.
Yep. So when you, now you know, you listen to the whole podcast and you've been like, what the hell, why is this show called One Baby Shoe? There it is.
The outro. Oh, yeah. Whoop, there it is. All right.
All right. Well,
all right.